I now call this regular meeting of Amesburg Town Council to order. Please stand for a moment of silent reflection. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the public agenda? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to minutes of the previous meetings. Item four, Council Pryor.
Move the minutes.
Second, Council Levine. All those in favor? Any issues with the minutes? Okay. Delegations, 5.1, William Brush. Can you push a little button there on the microphone?
Hello, Mr. Mayor. My name is William Brush. For time purposes, I'm going to be quickly going through these slides. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to go through them after. I would like chickens in residential areas. Here is why. I recently was considering purchasing chickens so that I could share the organic eggs with friends and family. After a little research, I found out that it is illegal to own chickens in residential areas of Amesburg. I am here because I believe the bylaw regarding chickens should be revised. Owning chickens can teach the youth of Amesburg responsibility and where their food comes from. Here is a study conducted in the UK. It explains how much kids knew about their food. Some of the answers are shocking. 36% of kids did not know bacon came from pig. In 4 in 10 kids did not know milk comes from cows. 11% thought eggs came from wheat. Next slide, please. Organic chicken is healthier and better tasting, however, more expensive to buy. Canada signed and agreed to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. It includes our right to improve our standard of living by producing food that is better for us in a cost-efficient manner. I don't have time to read the whole thing. I've provided the parts I believe apply to the topic today. I also believe the right to development entitles us to basic economical and cultural freedoms, such as producing our own food. Canada claims to be a progressive, educated, free society, yet we can't produce our own food in this community. Such rights should apply to all communities in Canada, not just a select few. Chickens have rights too. The Ontario Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act is a set of rules put into place by the government of Ontario. So you don't have to make any new rules. They are already written for you. I provided these in the handout, Mr. Mayor. The government of Canada has a farm animal welfare law, which gives the power to the OSPCA to enforce these rules. Several communities have had success in changing these bylaws. I know that we could have similar success in Amesburg as well. To be fair to our neighbors and our chickens, I believe it would be reasonable to provide a few guidelines. That is why we need to be able to own chickens and other poultry in the residential areas in Amesburg, Ontario. I believe I have given you every reason to say yes. Thank you for your consideration.
I was expecting someone a little older myself. Very well done. Is there any questions for Mr. Brush? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you,
You did an awesome job, and I really, really appreciate it. And I can't ask you where you live, and I'm not going to. But could you just tell me how close your home is to other homes in that area?
Well, I live in...
You don't have to tell me where you live. If you just could tell me how close your home is.
It's next to other homes.
You can tell us if you want. I don't think anybody's going to come bug you, but
okay.
You don't have to.
Well, I live on States Avenue, in the Monopoly there. But if I were to have chickens, it would be in more in the middle of my yard, away from the fences.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And as a follow-up, if I may address through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, regarding Mr. Brush's request, what is the current bylaw that we have concerning the zoning and how close Mr. Brush's home would be nearest to the next door neighbors? I understand there's homes behind that area too on the States.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, chickens are not permitted in residential areas in our zoning bylaw presently. People are allowed to have 3 household pets, but they have to go into the house for part of their living. And so chickens normally would be considered outdoor. And so no chickens are permitted in residential areas presently in the zoning bylaw.
Any other questions? Okay. Councilor Fryer?
Through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, I think, I kind of agree with you, but I don't, because the chickens at night go into their own coop, which is a house. So they do actually go into a house, and they might not be where people are living, maybe attached to a building, but to say to the young guy that, hey, you can't have a chicken because it doesn't go into a house, they all go in a coop in the night, and that's where they're laying their eggs, is usually in there. So I think I'd be all for an amendment coming, an administration bringing back an amendment to allow for something like this, because I had them as well. I thought it would have been a great project for my girls. It was in 2011. I wasn't a city council, but after they got so big, I looked into it a little bit more. I had a house for them. They were getting big, but we had to get rid of them because there was no way in heaven that I would have gotten the bylaw changed not being on council at the time. So I'm hoping that administration brings us back and allows our youth to do what people did 50 years ago. They had them running all over the place, and they still do. If you go into counties, if you go to any European towns, you see the chickens, they're free range, they're all over the place. But at night, they come back and they're pretty good at knowing where they live at night because it's a safe place for them to be. I think the only other aspect you'd have to do with this bylaw is allow for, property, which we have a bylaw officer, can look at how clean the area is, so you don't want the smells and things like that. But I think if you've got young kids that are doing it, Texas Road right now, I know there's ducks. There's the one gentleman that has ducks all over there, and they run the whole neighborhood on the north side. So I don't know what we're allowing. It's a chicken, a duck, in a house, not a house. So.
Councilor Malash?
I think if administration were to look at this, so they'd have to, my biggest concern would be animals such as coyotes, that, and I know they exist. I have a sister who lives in the rural area, not just outside of Amherstburg, and they have coyotes in the backyard. So they are, they do encroach on the residential properties, and that would be a concern of mine. I think that administration would have to factor in what type of animals it may attract if we do decide to go with this.
Rebecca?
Further to what Councillor Fryer said a minute ago about ducks on Texas Road, I just want to make a point for Council's information. Our zoning bylaw does have a special provision in it right now on Texas Road in second concession specifically, and that special provision is because those are rural residential properties in town, and there was a request, and this even predates amalgamation. It goes way back to, so prior to the 1999 bylaw, prior to amalgamation, that allows the keeping of animals on these rural residential properties, specifically listed as Texas Road and second concession.
I don't want to, I guess, get in the back and forth, Rebecca, but you can't say that Texas Road is now a rural area when we did the construction on Texas Road. There was a drain there. A lot of it was open at one time, and that drain was covered by the town. If you turn the corner on the second concession, well, that drain and all those residents down there are all paying for their drains to be covered because they're in the rural area. So that Texas Road corridor you're talking about, if that's a rural area, then all the residents need to be charged or back charged for the drainage that got put in during construction. So what is it? We've been amalgamated for many years now. We can't say, well, it predates this, and we can't do it because of that. We have one rule for one town, and it should be the rule for everyone. And as far as coyotes go, we have currently coyotes that run free right in the middle of town because there's a huge population of cats and other animals roaming around all over the place. So to say that it's going to track this or track that, we already have them. And if you look at some of the hunters in the areas, they do a pretty good job at taking out quite a few coyotes a year in our area to maintain the populations. So I have a concern with saying one area is a rural only for livestock, but if we're going to charge over draining, no, we're not going to do that for them. So we have to be consistent in what we're saying.
That's a zoning issue, right? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, looking for a motion. Councilor Melosh?
Motion to receive the delegation and administration report back.
Second? Report back on?
On whether or not having bylaw revised is, sorry, whether or not having the bylaw amended is favorable, I guess, for the residents as a whole.
Okay, is there a second? Councilor Fryer? And Councilor Melosh, did you want to comment?
No.
Okay, Councilor Fryer?
Put a timeline on a friendly amendment, put a timeline when we're coming back. I'm sure Mr. Brush wouldn't want to do it when he's 20 or 30 years old. So I'd like to see him come back to us sooner rather than later.
I'm going to ask administration what kind of timelines, if any.
Through you, Mayor, obviously we're going to be down to one meeting soon per month, so I would think that we could probably get something back to council by the end of the summer. That's agreeable.
Okay. Do we need to make that part of the motion, or is that okay?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. All those in favor? Gary? Thank you. That brings us to 5.2, Steve Bouchard.
Your worship, members of council, I guess I'm here to request that the fees for the farmers market at the Little White Church be empowered, be waived. We've been running there for quite a few years. Last year we were approached with some fees that were to be implemented. So I approached you guys, showed you a list of the majority of the markets across Ontario and how they do not pay any fees. They were waived. This year I'm asking you guys to waive these fees again. And I'm wondering if we could avoid me coming back every year and have these fees waived for the market, the lifetime of the market, as long as we're at the Little White Church. Once again, the main reason being, even across all of Ontario, there's over 300 markets. Very, very few markets or cities are charged fees. The list goes on from Ajax to Whitby to the majority of the Toronto markets. Almost all the markets in Essex County do not pay fees, and we'd like to be part of the same situation.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Mr. Bouchard? Deputy Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the speaker.
Yes.
Can you tell me how much these fees are that we're talking about?
That I do not know. I came to get the my license. I was told that I'd have to come in front of you. We did not receive anything formal or what the fees are. Last year, I believe it was up to $6,900 for the year. This year, I have no idea what the fees would be. I might imagine it's whatever the going rate is.
Nicole?
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo, it would be approximately $3,000 in revenue by reducing the fees, as well as approximately $200 in business license fees.
Okay. Councillor Fryer, question?
I'll make a motion to receive the delegation and that the market fees be waived in perpetuity for the time frame the market is in existence.
Second. Councillor Levine. And comment, Councillor Fryer. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I think we're having residents consistently come back to us, or people that are, you know, hardworking in their fields already, like Mr. Bouchard. There's no sense coming back here and saying, can we get our fees waived this year? If we're going to do it 1 year and 2 years and 3 years, then let's just make it for the whole time that the market exists. This way here, it frees up their time, frees up our time, and we're not wasting residents' time sitting in the audience or when their issue comes before us.
Councillor Levine, did you want to comment?
No, not at
this. Okay. Councillor Pouget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Bouchard. I agree, Mr. Bouchard, and your committee works very, very hard. And although I do support part of Councillor Fryer's initial motion, I do not support it in its entirety, because I don't think that we have the right to say that we will waive it in perpetuity, given the fact that our financial situation differs every year. And we're only good, some of us might only be here for another year, and a new council might feel differently about it. They might want to have the opportunity to waive the fees or not to waive the fees. So I just feel that, to waive the fees this year, as we did last year, would be appropriate, but I am not in agreement of doing it in perpetuity as long as the market is out at the Little White Church.
Through your worship, to members of council, as with many other fees that council elects to waive, we will be bringing that all forward in the development of the budget going forward. So it will be a consideration of council to in the 2018 operating budget that we could bring forward the waiving of these fees. As we know, there's a number of other fees that council does waive. We need to, in my opinion, we need to keep track of this, because it's a significant amount of revenue that council is waiving, and that basically is a responsibility then of the general ratepayer to make up that revenue.
Okay. Councilor Milosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would agree with Councilor Boucher in that, you know, I'm against, you know, giving a lifetime, we'll say, exemption. The climate does change from year to year, and as Mr. Michelli has told us a number of times, we have challenges in how we're going to, how we generate non-tax revenues, the usage of our properties, charging one taxpayer and not charging the other taxpayer does become an issue, and I would support Councilor Fryer's motion with the exception of a lifetime. Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, Councilor Fryer, you have the opportunity to respond again if you like.
Just hearing the comments around the table, every council, every meeting, we have reconsiderations many a times. So the climate changes, if the situation in the town changes, and we desperately need $3,000, I'm sure the council of the day will see fit to start charging residents for that.
Thank you. The motion on the floor, does anybody need it reread? Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The motion on the floor is that the delegation be received and that market fees be waived in perpetuity for the lifetime of the farmers market's existence.
Sure, recorded vote. Councilor Levine?
Just through you, Mr. Michelli, does that create a problem in perpetuity for administration or next council?
In perpetuity is a very long time, so.
No, I understand that, but could a council reconsider?
Council can reconsider.
So it's just a word.
It is a word.
Okay.
It is a word. I just was, when I was explaining what I was suggesting for council, it's just from a transparency perspective, bringing it as part of the operating budget on an annual basis, we would table it with all the other things so that council could, in one motion, pass all of the waiving of several fees, which I think is a lot more transparent for the council and all future councils. But that's totally up to this council to do that.
Okay. That being considered, I'm going to remove my second motion.
Okay.
And I'm curious, is it feasible to have administration look at these types of fees with the market to see what other communities are doing? Because, I mean, he's already done some research on it. If we do waive a number of fees across the board, but if there are certain circumstances, like with markets, where we're kind of alone in charging the fees, maybe it's something that we can just get rid of altogether so we don't have this issue come forward.
Most definitely we could bring a report with regards. Actually, Nicole says she has it right now.
Through you, Mayor Carlo, in 2016 we brought a report to council for their consideration. At that time, administration had investigated other farmers markets operating on just their own property within the region. Bell River, Optimus Park, there was no charge. Kingsville, Carnegie Hall, no charge. Windsor, Palliser Street, the decision was not available at the time to report.
Okay, so the first question is there a second then, Councilor Levine?
No, second motion?
No, is there a second on Councilor Fryer's motion before I can proceed with any other one? Okay, not seeing a second, then I guess I'm open to another motion. Councilor Levine?
I'll move to waive the fees for the 2017 year and direct administration to come back with a report on the feasibility of the budget. Included in the budget, yes.
Second, Councilor Milosh. Technically, that's a new motion, so I'll ask if there's any questions.
No, including it in the budget for 2018.
Okay, is everybody clear on the motion? Cole?
Point of clarity for administration purposes, would that be both rental and all user fees attributed to the market for the 2017 rental and business licensing fees?
What did we do last year?
All.
Councilman Losh, you're still okay with that? All right. Motion on the floor. All those in favor? Carried. Thank you, Mr. Bouchard. Brings us to 5.3, Maxine Eiler.
Here I am.
You don't look like Maxine. Sorry, I didn't get the memo that we were switching to Dr. Halowski.
Maxine, Alan.
All right.
Your worship, members of council, as you're well aware, we're coming up on the 32nd annual Amherstburg Garden Tour. And in keeping with the format of the city, we have sent in our application in order to hold this event, along with our $250 fee to cover the application. The purpose of my being here is actually to ask you to waive the fee, as you've done in the past. I applaud the town and I applaud the process that you're going through to format these things in a proper manner. However, having to come back every year to renew the same thing, it seems to me that you could actually rule that we will send in the application, but you could just rule that we waive the fee for that, because you get the money anyway. I mean, the $250 is actually, we just turn around and give it to you in a $3,500 fee that we give to the Hanging Basket Program. And as you know, that all the stuff that we do from the Horticultural Society is for the town of Amherstburg. We work at beautifying it, we work at bringing other people to it, and so we're really just an extension of the town itself. So I ask that you reimburse our fee for us this year so that we can give it to you in another form.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, I guess I'm looking for a motion. Councilor Pope, sorry. Nicole?
Really quick, so just a point of clarification, the $250 is a deposit just for like an indemnity, just in case there's any damage done to the parks. The actual fee waiver would be about $185.
Thank you for that clarification. Looking for a motion. Councilor Pugin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that we waive the fees for the garden tour for this year, and that I don't think we need to add that we're waiting for a report back.
Sure. Second, Councilor Melosh. And Councilor Pugin, did you want to comment on that? Or?
No, well, actually, I do, just for a second.
Sure.
Just through you, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to thank you for coming before us, and you do an awesome job. I sit on the Parks Committee, and I'm well aware of all the work you do, and it's phenomenal. We really appreciate it from the town of Amherstburg.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Thank you.
Now, at this time, every year, we hold a VIP tour at the end of the garden tour, to which we have an open invitation to all members of town council. And my observation is the only one that ever takes us up on it is this honored Mayor Aldo DiCarlo. So I extend this invitation in hopes that we'll see you all there this year and enjoy the party and get to the VIP tour of the people who have made their gardens open and available to everyone to come and see. And then we have a little wine party at the end of it. So you're all there. I look forward to seeing you there. And thank you for waiving the fee. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. That brings us to 5.4. Mr. Lozon couldn't make it, so Lena, I guess you're up. Or is it Lena?
Lena.
I got it. Wait a minute. Lena.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor DiCarlo and esteemed councilors. I'm here on behalf of the Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 157 here in Amherstburg. And Dave sends his apologies. He's running the bingo right now, so he couldn't be here. Very briefly, we've always been a bronze sponsor for the annual motorcycle ride for Dad. This is our third year where we will be supporting the fight against prostate cancer. We have been the first stop along the route, and we open our doors to the approximately 800 riders that we have every year. And this year, we've listened to our riders and our spectators, and we will have breakfast to be served. So you'll be first in line, Mayor DiCarlo. We do require the usual, the temporary road closure. I've actually been assured by the event organizer that this year they're going to try to break up the route a little bit so that not all 800 riders have to leave at the exact time. So that way it's kind of a steady flow, so not as congested. But we will have a temporary road closure with people manning barricades to allow other traffic to go through just till we get the majority of the bikes in order. So I'm here tonight to finalize the event details because I have an application into the AGCO. Just like last year, we're looking to extend our liquor license hours by 1 hour, so from 11 o'clock, instead of 11 o'clock in the morning, to open at 10 a.m. because we will be opening our doors earlier. There's been concern raised every year that because this is a motorcycle ride, but I just want to assure everyone, we are in no way condoning drinking and driving. The reason that this was brought up in the first place was because we have a lot of spectators. A lot of people come out and enjoy watching these motorcycles ride through town. And we have a lot of regular patrons, a lot of members that come to the branch, that stay for the entire day, because we do invite the riders back to our branch in the evening for entertainment and for more food and beverage. So I'm hoping that that as a not-for-profit organization, you know, our main funding comes from our food and beverage sales. So for an event like this, where we are sponsoring, I believe it's going to be $3,000 again to the Ride for Dad. We're hoping that we can get council's approval and your letter of endorsement so that we can follow up with the AGCO and have this event run smoothly again.
Questions, Councillor Levine?
We approved this last year, right?
Okay.
To forego that, I'll move the delegation we received and the town extend the hours of service for the ride.
Thank you. Second. Councillor Pouget. Any questions? Councillor Melange?
I think something should be added that she requested a letter from the town, you know, to support the AGCO.
Sorry, for clarification, did you want to say that?
Sorry, with respect to your motion, it would be a letter of support for the extension.
Yeah.
Of 1 hour.
Yeah.
Okay. And, sorry, questions again? We're good? Okay. Councillor Courtney, I thought I saw your hand up.
It was, but I took it down again.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, all those in favor? Carrie, thank you.
Thank you.
And that brings us to 7.1. Councillor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you. Second, Councillor Fryer. Councillor Levine, did you want to comment?
No.
Councillor Fryer? Any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 7.2, the demolition of Duffy's Tavern. Councillor Fryer?
I'll move the recommendation.
And second, Deputy Mayor. Questions? Councillor Levine?
What's the time frame for this once it's approved?
Once it's approved, the demolition schedule is 11 weeks. So if all goes well and we get their insurances everything in for the remainder of this week, I imagine that demolition begins sometime next week or the week after.
Through you to Mr. Tomes. I see the fire department's been using it quite extensively. Are you done using it, or is there anything else you could get out of it?
We pretty much abused it as much as we
did. Councillor Pouget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank administration for being so thorough with this tender results. I know I complained it the last time about it, that, you know, we didn't know what the final outcome was regarding the demolition of the arena. And I really appreciate the breakdown, and it's really hard to believe, but I do appreciate the fact that one group can do it, $172,267, much cheaper than the one that came in second. I'd like the breakdown all the way down up to 800,000. It is such a big, big difference. And, you know, with the savings that we're going to have and the savings that we had as a result of the, and I don't even know if I can say it. I'll skip that part. But anyway, I'll just say that with all the savings that we do have, we'll be able to fix up that property much, much cheaper than we originally anticipated.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Mr. Michelli. Three questions that refer to the report. Okay, it said the administration be directed to seek senior levels of government funding to assist in the redevelopment plan. Did we get any funding, any government funding for this project?
Through your worship to Councilor Courtney, at the present time, there is no senior government programs other than we do have one application in that will assist us with the removal of the gas tanks at the site.
The administration be directed to seek fundraising initiatives with stakeholder groups. Did we do that?
Through your worship to Councilor Courtney, what our next steps are is to have the public consultation to finalize the concept of Duffy's, and then at that point in time, we will be seeking stakeholder groups to assist us in the redevelopment. I can tell you right now that I do have one particular party already that is seeking to sponsor the riverfront redevelopment.
Yep.
And the last condition was that the redevelopment of Duffy's be subject to council approval once funding opportunities have materialized. So if we don't have funding yet, how can we proceed with this?
Very good question, Councillor Courtney. Within the contents of the report, council did authorize me to expend up to $1,675,000. As council is aware, that acquisition was made far less money than that. So the opportunity that we had to provide seed money was included in the original authorization provided to me by council. So we technically have met that component for this demolition. Once again, once we do the public consultation and we finalize the plan, that's the time where council is going to approve that whole concept plan and funding associated with that.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 7.3, Councilor Fryer.
I'll move that the report be received and approved and the signs be erected. To be more specific, because it's a long area, and I think there's a concern of where the sign's going to be in order to get damaged. And I think if you, to be more specific, there's an entrance to the greenway going east, and then there's another set of bollards. So if it could be set up along there at the bollards rather than further in, so that way people could see it as they're coming into the trail. And the second sign be put on just off of Fox Road by Big Creek, so people can see it driving down, and people will be able to see that area where it's both sides. It's from Alma to the Cypress Systems Greenway.
Seconded, Councilor Bouget and Councilor Fryer. I think you just commented, but...
Just the other question I had for administration is the construction of the signs. How many years, and what are we looking at? Because it's going to be in the elements. It's something that got donated by, and I thank you, Mr. Nemeth, for donating the pictures. But you know, what's the time frame? What kind of materials we're going to be using, so that way we're not coming back 3 or 4 years from now and having to replace these.
I can provide a little insight. I'll do my damnedest. So in discussions, the average life of sign like this is anywhere from 5 to 10 years, depending on weathering. You know, the idea would be that once the weathering has taken that effect, that someone will have to replace the sign. And being the fact that the town of Amherstburg placed the signs, I would imagine any future replacement would also fall on the town of Amherstburg for any legacy costs. But I am far from an expert on the wearing and tearing of signs, but that's, as far as I know, that's what I know.
Mr. Nowis?
I did a little bit of investigating, and for a little bit extra money, we could use marine grade plywood, sealed, and they can put whatever pictures they want onto that, and that would prolong the life of the sign. And also, if we can get a sealer over top of the pictures, I would like to use an epoxy, but apparently, if they come gloss, the photographs would all be slightly sanded down, and I wouldn't want to do that. So it would have to be done when the pictures are put on. They would have to do that wherever they're doing that job at. To green grade plywood pictures and a sealer over top of the pictures, and you know, maybe we'd get 20 years and spend a little bit extra money.
Okay, is there a consideration for an upset limit on?
Your worship.
Mm-hmm.
Through your worship, we have an estimated cost of $1,600 for the two signs. I would anticipate that that does include marine grade plywood, but we'll confirm that, Mr. Nemeth. But the budget was $1,600. So in my opinion, I think we would definitely be able to get two signs with marine grade plywood for that cost.
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of investigating because it is plywood and it is 4 or 5 ply.
Mm-hmm.
The article that I read also recommended to be sure that the edges are done, because obviously it's porous and the wet, the elements could get in there very easily, and that would start deterioration very quickly.
Okay. So I don't think we need to change that. Can you repeat the locations again so we have it on record?
It was Fox Road and heading east after the entrance off of Thomas Road. There's a set of bullards right there, or boulders, sorry. The actor has bullards right there. As you're entering, it gives a pretty good wide space, and then the entrance from there.
Right at the road there, right at Thomas Road?
A little bit further in from that.
Okay, you're talking along the east, which would be the east side of Fort, the Fort, or the where the Bird Club is. Their east lot line.
East lot line of the
okay.
Fort, yeah.
Okay.
And Fox Road.
Okay. So any questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carry.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to say that it's very rewarding when a citizen comes forth that feels so passionately about an issue, and he doesn't know I'm talking about him right now.
Right.
I'm talking about you right now. That's okay. No, I'm just saying it's so rewarding to have a resident come forward who feels so passionately about something and doesn't let it go. It's like a dog with a bone, and he just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it, and now is seeing the fruits, the success is going to happen, and you made it happen, and I'm just proud of you. So thank you.
Okay, that brings us to 9.1, road repairs. Councilor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Melage. Any questions? Councilor Melage?
Sorry, the question relates actually to the next issue, I'm sorry.
Okay. Any questions on 9.1? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carry. Brings us to 9.2. Councilor Fryer.
Move the recommendation.
Thank you. Second. Councilor Levine. And questions? Councilor Melosh.
We're not concerned of the opportunity, but the way I look at it is that, you know, we're saving $46,000 on the on option on number one, we're saving $45,000 on the new truck. And the next point three, they're asking for $93,000. I just felt it was an opportunity that we can handle all of those, or handle 9.3 within the confines of the 2017 budget by taking the savings from 9.1 and 9.2 and handling 9.3. And I don't want to get ahead of myself to discuss 9.3, but I just want to bring that out as an option, that we have this savings that can be used for other capital expenditures like the sidewalk. Administration has recommended putting it into reserve, but I just feel that at this point in time, rather than taking from 2018, we can handle the projects in 2017 with the savings that we've already realized. So I just want to say that.
Okay, is there any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Bring this to 9.3. Councilor Melosh?
I move the recommendation.
And second, Deputy Mayor. Questions? Councilor Pouget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And through you to Mr. Michelli. And Mr. Michelli, I called you today about this, given the fact that I guess that people are starting to see that we're doing work on Sandwich Street, and their guest now has said we're replacing the sidewalk. So I received a couple calls today, and my first question was, did this include the Navy Yard Park? And he told me absolutely not, and not at this time anyway. And then these people brought it to my attention. They served on the Parks Committee, they served on Heritage Committee, and before any initiative was taken to put down the interlocking bricks, years and years and years ago, there was a lot of discussion and feedback, and we decided, well, I was a part of it then, but these people decided that they were going to do it in the old section of town, and because we were a heritage town, they were trying to go with the heritage district, and they thought the interlocking brick was the right way to go. My question is, would it be cheaper just to replace sections of the interlocking brick when needed, rather than to replace the whole sections of interlocking brick with cement? Because as we know, that we've had trip and falls on regular sidewalks because they do heave also. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, why are we going to tear up its large sections of good sidewalk if we could just replace the sections that actually needed replacing with other interlocking brick? And also, if we are going to do this, shouldn't this go to the Parks Committee and the Heritage Committee as it had in the past for the review and advice?
I will attempt to answer this question. Thank you, Councilor Pouget. Through your worship to members of council, Councilor Pouget did call me this afternoon and express the concerns that she did receive from some of her constituents. And the first thing I did is I tried to look and see if I could find any history where decisions like that were made, and unfortunately I was unable to find them. We as a municipality don't have council-approved urban design guidelines. We are in the process of procuring for that service, and I do have a proposal that I'm reviewing right now. It's through those urban design guidelines that they will be able to assist us going forward in the look and feel that we would like of our town. Predominantly what we have here is we have a section of Sandwich Street that we've defined that's included in the report, where we believe there is a numerous amount of trip hazards, and in the event of public safety is what we're trying to do, and as is contained in the report, we do have a few slip and falls and trip hazards that we're dealing with right now. As it is right now, this interlock was installed in the 1980s. It basically has about a 30-year life cycle. I would suggest, ever since I started here at the town, which has been about 2.5 years ago, the trip hazard that's been in front of Town Hall, the entranceway into Town Hall, that was in poor condition when I got here. I'm sure it was in poor condition way before that. What we're trying to do here is be proactive and take advantage of a really good price that we got from the contractor to address all of this work. Now, in looking at what you're suggesting, what people have said in the past, we are going to create that opportunity for people to have input as we go through the urban design guidelines. We will be having public meetings with that. But as an administrator, and I believe myself in, with Public Works, our concern is we have an immediate need now to address a problem that we have on Sandwich Street that will impact us going forward, I believe, if we do not demonstrate our due diligence. Council did approve in the 2017 capital budget $50,000 for sidewalk replacement. It mitigates our risk associated and we can help us defend ourselves. If there is concrete that does lift, we do have our own equipment on the town to actually scratch down the surface to reduce that. And from my perspective, and I've had to deal with this in the past, maintenance of interlocking stone is very difficult for a municipality. There is not a lot of contractors that are doing that particular work. I know the last time I had that discussion with Eric, it was actually more money to remove and replace and reinstall the existing pavers than it was just to remove and reinstall concrete. Now, when people talk about period and is it a period element or historic, my answer to that is concrete was in existence back then when sidewalks were created, as was asphalt, as was numerous other things. The one other thing that we can also say is Eric did contact the accessibility committee and asked them, and they were supportive of replacing interlocking stone with concrete. So we have done our due diligence with respect to talking to the committees, the accessibility committee. Unfortunately, we might have not contacted the Parks Committee because it's a public right-of-way, and that I take responsibility for that. I will not say no. I would have dealt with the Parks Committee if we're dealing with King's Name Yard Park. But I think from this perspective, I think administration, we have done our due diligence, and I would just seek council's approval for this. And if there's something going forward that council wants me to do, we'll definitely do it.
Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a great topic because so many people still seem to like to think that they could use this against me because I was a victim of that. So going forward, I just want to make another comment. CAO is looking at what can we do as councillors or as a town to mitigate the issue. My question is, in 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006 on record, the town sent out a student to GPS every deficiency in all the sidewalks throughout the town. Are we still doing that? Is it a process we still continue to do? So that way we will limit our liabilities and further issues with everyday residents that get hurt for not the town's fault, but a lot of them are contractor faults.
Mm-hmm. Through you, Mr. Mayor, we still do that process annually. We send out a student or actually one of our employees sometimes goes along with them. We mark the deficiency if it's a lift or a missing piece, and we GPS it as well. And we have been, as CAO Michelli, we recently purchased the equipment to be able to shave down the lifts, and that saved us a lot of money instead of having a company come in and try to jack the sidewalks. So it has been, we have been doing our due diligence in that case. When it comes to interlocking brick, the problem is you'll have a sidewalk that looks perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden one brick will just pop out. And unless you have someone monitoring these sidewalks, it's not like a concrete sidewalk that seems to happen usually over time. This could happen, be fine one day, and then there'll be a serious hazard the next. So that would be prevented as well.
Follow up, Councilor Fryer?
Follow up through you, Tanita. So the process we used before was also GPSing, but the process also failed because 2-3 years later, the same issue was there, and that's when I got hurt. So So are we going and fixing the problems the year that we find them, or are we waiting for council to set a budget, or are we waiting for some 3-4 weeks down the road? What's the time frame so council knows and then the residents know that we're fixing sidewalks?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if an issue has been identified, we take it very seriously, and Paula can attest to that. We do deal with an identified issue, I would say within weeks. I don't want to confirm that, but we do identify them annually. However, if we see a trip hazard, we will get to that as soon as possible.
Deputy Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a comment in regards to some trees that we have on Richmond Street, mm-hmm. and I think we discussed it a while back. John, is there any idea when we might get down there? Will it be a while, like, or quite a while?
Through your worship to Deputy Mayor DePasquale, I actually. Mr. Rozelle will be in on Monday, and we'll be examining all the trees down in Richmond. I've engaged his services to do a tree condition assessment report for all those trees on Richmond. We have received some complaints from residents because of the lifting of the interlocking stone where the trees are included on Richmond. I think going forward with our urban design guidelines, I really think we're going to have to take a look at that and what we want to do as a municipality going forward. I'm of the opinion that I would love to see trees on Richmond and all of our streets in the downtown, but I'm also of the opinion that they shouldn't be installed in the sidewalk, they should be installed in planters. But that'll be a decision of council. I can only offer my recommendation and what I believe from a maintenance perspective, especially in light of the fact that we're going towards a snow removal program where the town's removing the snow. What I would like to see, and I think what would be most beneficial for the town, is if we had the ability to bring in planters and remove planters for the winter season to allow unobstructed clearing of sidewalks in the downtown core. That's a council decision. I'm just sort of suggesting what I think might be a better fit for us, but once again, it's up to council when that time comes.
Councilor Malash?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I may have erred here when I put the motion forth based on my comments earlier, but I guess we didn't pick up on that. I really wanted to see this funded through the surpluses, through the savings. And would still like to see that added to the motion somehow, because that was really the intent in the earlier conversation.
Me first.
Go ahead.
Through your worship, if I could just address Councillor Malosh's concern. Councillor Malosh, the real impetus for us on doing this is to allow administration the authority to issue the purchase order, because right now we don't have it approved in the capital budget of 2017. It's not to say that we won't have other savings in other accounts. With regards to the previous reports that were approved, the $43,000 that was segregated for the fleet replacement, we will continue to have fleet replacement challenges in the town. We just thought it was more prudent to leave the fleet replacement dollars approved by council with fleet. And in this particular situation, the pre-commitment, we might, prior to the end of the year, be in a position to fund it, and it doesn't come as a 2018 capital budget item. I just need to be able to, given the current situation, be able to issue or have the authority to issue a purchase order, and we thought it was the cleanest to pre-commit the 2018 capital budget.
Follow up to that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand what you're saying, but every year we sit down and we do a budget that looks at operations, looks at capital, looks at reserves. So we do allocate some of our budget dollars every year to reserves. And I understand this is just a means of boosting our reserve further. Yes, we're always going to have the demands. I just, from a fiscal perspective, I'm looking at saying, look, if there's a savings here, there's savings, we require more money. Not that I dispute the $93,000 that's needed to do the work. It's essential that we do the work. It's just that I'm saying we can do it with a balanced budget Lira, in short, that's where I was coming from on that issue.
So I need clarification on your motion then.
Are you asking to amend it?
The last motion was the last one. It's done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I thought you were referring to this motion. Yeah, that last motion is done. So on this current motion, is there any changes?
Who's the mover?
The mover was Councilor Milaj, and seconder was Deputy Mayor. So solely on the sidewalk replacement.
So within my motion, I can't put a reconsideration on those other two?
Well, you would ask for a friendly amendment. I could check with the Deputy Mayor. On this, right? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, there is some confusion here. We're only talking about the sidewalks. So if you want to change something related to solely the sidewalks, we can address that. If it has anything to do with a prior motion, then no, we can't address that. Unless you want to ask for a reconsideration.
I would like to ask for a reconsideration. Like I said, I can't see taking $93,000 of 2018 budget.
Yeah, you can't speak to that one until we address this one. So I believe you would have to...
Sorry, you said that one.
Yeah, my mistake. So 9.2 is done. We currently have a motion on the floor. In order to address another motion, you would have to withdraw this motion, ask for reconsideration on the prior motion.
The prior two motions.
Prior two motions.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove this my motion on 9.3.
Okay. Let me just double check. Do I now check for reconsideration, or do I have to deal with this motion first? What's that? Don't have to deal with this one. For the reconsideration. I'm anticipating this probably it's not going to go anywhere, but there's a motion for reconsideration. Is there a seconder for reconsideration? The reconsideration was Councillor Milaj. So is there a second for reconsideration? Okay, no second, which brings us back to 9.3. Councillor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation as is.
Second, Councillor Pouget. And I believe we're back to talking about this motion. Is there any other comments on this motion or questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. That brings us to 10.1, the special events approval. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you. Second. Councilor Pouget? Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 10.2, the zoning bylaw amendment. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the motion.
Second. Councilor Levine? Any questions on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to the CEO's report. You're going to go to the clerk right now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to remind Council that 11.1 is a report that was deferred from March the 20th. You requested the report come back for consideration of the appointment to the Recreation and Culture Committee. That is the only thing that needs to be addressed in this report.
So the only issue then is whether there's anyone who has the time to do the Recreation and Culture Advisory Committee, I guess. Okay. Councilor Pouget?
May I ask a question on it?
Sure.
And how many times a year do they meet?
If I may, through you, Mr. Mayor, they meet every second Wednesday of the month, every other month.
Councilor Levine, you had your hand up?
Well, I was just going to point out once this year, I think, because of these issues. We've had a lack of quorum. We don't have enough people on the committee to go forward with the meetings at this point, so we're trying to get it cleaned up here.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to, I have something to say about the recommendation that I would like to read, if I may.
We're not supposed to take reading statements? Is it one or two lines? Is it something you can just address?
I ran it by Paula today.
It's okay? All right.
Okay. For those here tonight, you know that I recently had to resign from the Parks Committee due to my employment. I am a piano instructor and must work afternoons from 3 o'clock until 8 p.m. This schedule prohibits me from serving our committees. I have commitments with the parents whose children I teach, and I must honor those commitments as they are the primary source of my income. This does not preclude me from carrying out my other duties as a counselor, planning meetings, in-camera meetings, council meetings, town hall meetings, phone calls and emails to constituents, public functions, and other duties. I appreciate the understanding I have received from my fellow counselors and administration due to my situation. Thank you.
Thank you. And for anyone trying to follow along, that was very specific to your need to leave that committee and for the information of council solely for the purposes of going forward. It's a little bit different than what I was referring to. So back to the motion. At this time, it's open. If there is no one coming forward, it will stay on the books, I guess, right? You can't force anybody to. Can you put me on? I know. If it's for the purpose of having a meeting. Is it for the purpose of having a meeting or for the purposes of reporting back to? Well, we might have to discuss it. Well, what's the update? Okay. I'm just going to ask one more time. Is there any members of council to come forward? There is a conflict in that I'm already an ex officio, so, and it is legislated, correct? Since it's legislated, I don't know that my involvement would apply. Councilor Pugia?
You know, I would really like to serve on this committee, but right now I think it conflicts with some of my duties with Communities in Bloom, which is a big thing this year,
mm-hmm.
and with the Parks Committee, because we do have to change our meetings periodically because of a lack of quorum. And I'm afraid if I put my name forward, I'm not going to be able to do a good job on that committee, because if I go in, I want to be in. I want to be, you know, do a very good job. And so I don't know, unless I check with those other two committees and see if it's going to be a conflict to them.
I think the clerk has a solution that might work.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. With respect to committees, if I may, I would like to go back to the committee structure and take a look at our committees. And there may be an opportunity for me to join the Parks and Recreation Committees together, so if there is just one committee. And there may be an opportunity for that in other areas as well.
Councilor Frey?
I'll just table this motion.
To table, we need a timeline or reason when we will come back, I guess?
The end of summer.
Okay. Second, Councilor Pugia. All those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to 12. Councilor Melosh.
Can I get a clarification on 11-1? On 11-1?
Well, we,
I
would have preferred that you did that while we were still addressing it.
It's not dealing specifically with that, but it's dealing with why some of this stuff happens, I guess, is a question, that clarification I wanted to get at.
I don't, I'm not sure. I think that's probably a question you could ask outside of council, I think, and we can get you that answer. If it's anything that is relevant to the rest of council, we'll make sure it comes forward. That brings us to 12, information reports. Councilor Fryer?
I'll move the receipt of 12-1 through 4.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Puget. I know we normally just receive these. Let's see. Yeah, motion to receive these. All those in favor? Carried. And anybody want to address one? Councilor Fryer?
12.2, the Buffalo Dock. I think this is, in speaking to the CAO this week, this is a great opportunity, I think, for the town for tourism and also for eco and sport tourism. There's a lot of burning that can happen in that area, and with hopefully when Oceans and Fisheries do come back to the CAO, we can be looking at putting money aside to make this a pier that everyone can use, and maybe tie into the project from Duffy's right into that area. There's a potential also for lookout and things like that, so I'd make a motion for or give direction to administration, continue all aspects of exploring, getting this, the bubble dock back to its original form so that way residents can use it.
I'm just going to, I might ask for an amendment in that there is no public access to that dock, so would you not also have to look into accessing that dock outside of from the water?
The motion would be that the CAO can explore opportunities, so you can add that to access, which there's many that are going to need to be. If we're planning on putting a boat launch downtown at the old Duffy's property, no one that lived downtown before wanted any trailers there. So there's opportunities where you can valet the trailers to the old Bubble Dock or the old Bubble parking lot in conjunction with Mr. Amicone. So there's opportunities that can be seen there. And also IRPA is looking at putting a lookout trail right near that the Bubble Dock as well. So it's a bigger project that may need many people to come into, but it's something I think that should go back in CAO's lab and not be played out in politics right now.
Just so he understands what he was doing, but that should cover it, correct?
Through your worship, I understand what council would be looking for me to do.
And it's seconded by Councilor Puget. Any other questions or comments? Councilor Puget?
And could I ask that this report be sent to the Parks Committee, because they too were very interested in that, the Bobo Dock. And I know that they have sent back feedback regarding that.
Sure, we can send it to the Parks Committee. I just want to point out for council, it is included in the body of the report. I strongly believe that I will be in a position to negotiate something with the federal government. And I just want to bring it to council's attention. I went thoroughly through the report that they produced for us. I will suggest to you that, as I disclosed in the financial matters of the report, even if they were looking at decommissioning that property, there's a minimum of $337,000 on the table that I believe can come to the town. So I just want to make council aware that if I'm going to negotiate with the feds, that is going to be the floor. I just can't tell you what the ceiling is going to be.
Okay. Is there any other questions or comments? Councilor Puget?
And thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Michelli, because I think that was our big fear, that they might just come along and say, we're just going to take it right out of there. It's in such bad shape, and I give you a lot of credit for pursuing this.
All those in favor? Carried. Other items? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to 13, consent correspondence. Councilor Melange?
Move 13.1 to 13.7 be received.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Cluget. All those in favor? Carried. Any action items in there council would like to address? Councilor Melange?
question is to, I'm not sure if it's Rebecca or to Mr. Brown, on soil dumping or stockpiling. I know I've received a couple of concerns about that in the past, and then I've been involved with Mr. Brown. Do we have some kind of regulation or bylaw that regulates how much soil is brought in on properties and ensuring that the soil is not contaminated in any way?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, controlling site alteration and the amount of fill that's brought in on properties. If it's within IRFA's regulated area, they have to, the property owner has to obtain a permit from IRFA to bring in fill. Those areas which are outside the regulated areas, some municipalities have municipal fill bylaws. We don't have a municipal fill bylaw in Amherst. And it is in our jurisdiction to look at contaminants of fill, so we're not addressing that.
Thank you.
So if there was an issue, it would have to go through the Ministry of the Environment, I think?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, that's correct.
All right. Other items? Councillor Fryer?
On 13.1, I'd like Council to support a motion to agree with the resolution by the town of LaSalle for supporting funding for Great Lakes.
Just for clarification, very recently information was provided that the U.S. has agreed to 1 year's funding, full funding. So I would just suggest if we want to support it, maybe we can say going forward, because their letter obviously didn't address that. But. Okay, and second, Deputy Mayor. All right, all those in favor? Carried, thank you. And any other items? Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item 13.7, request for provincial support regarding opioid strategy. Looks like there's some sort of attachment I don't have from Lanark County resolution. Might be interesting to get a copy of that. Do you have a copy of that by any chance? Madam Clerk.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm sorry, what was the question?
If we had a copy, I guess
okay.
We do have a copy. Probably most people have heard about the problem with the opioid drugs that are all over the place, they're all over the country. And is it okay if I ask a question to the chief, the
yes.
police chief? Chief, do you have any strategy or anything that you're working on or to do with the opioid problems?
We are, through you, Mr. Mayor, like all other police organizations, we're waiting to see what the provincial government will allow us to do. One of the things that the OACP is looking into, and some police departments right now are deploying it, are canisters to counteract the effects of fentanyl. So, but before we deploy them, to our frontline officers, we have a lot more homework to do.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, any other items? Okay, seeing none, brings us to 14.1. Motion. Councilor Park?
I'm with the recommendation to receive and the town partake in lighting of a landmark during the month of May in celebration of the Brain Tumor Foundation of Canada's 35th anniversary.
Thank you. Second, Councillor Melosh. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to consent other minutes, item 15. Councillor Melosh.
Move the recommendation that 15.1 to 15.3 be received.
Thank you. Second? Councilor Levine. All those in favor? Carried. 16.1. Councilor Melosh.
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Pouget. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Unfinished business. Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple months ago, I believe council passed a motion to try to get our share of the money back from Essex County Council regarding the library strike. Have we had any update on that recently?
Deputy Mayor, did you want to?
I know there is a library board meeting coming up, but I haven't heard any discussions as of yet.
It was deferred to budget deliberations for 2017 for the county. I provided a reminder that it was otherwise it was not going to be addressed, and I guess it was deferred again. It was not addressed during budget deliberations, and we are anticipating that they deal with the issue soon. If necessary, I guess either myself or the Deputy Mayor could bring it up at a county level again. Thank you for bringing that forward. Councilor Pouget?
By the sound of it, it doesn't sound like the chances of getting our money back are very good, right?
All I can say is that it is still a line item per se in the budget, since there was savings. And at some point, it will have to be addressed. There was other municipalities that also wanted to look into that. So I'm hoping that they too will bring that issue forward. Councilor Levine?
I guess for you to scale, is there any legal aspect that's associated to this when you provide a funding for a service that is then denied? Is there any avenue? If they just want to kind of fuse it as a line item and just push it aside.
Through your worship to Councilor Levine, I think jurisdictionally they levy an amount charged to the municipality, and we submit it on behalf of the county. Part of their responsibility is to provide library services. They have not provided library services, in my opinion. I think they have an obligation to at least consider as a county as a whole, just like this council does. So I would hope that as your representatives bring the issue forward at a county level, that the rest of their colleagues entertain the lack of service that was in this community and do the right thing. I think it's more of doing the right thing and returning those monies back to the respective municipalities. I am sure they will argue the fact that they paid for a numerous amount of security costs and a whole bunch of other things, so I really don't know what that net result will be, but I think at a bare minimum that this municipality should ask for a full accounting of that exercise.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Looking on the bright side, assuming that we do get some money back, where would we put that money?
Through your worship, to Councilor Courtney, in my opinion, it would go back to the general reserve, of which council could then consider either reducing any mill rate impacts for 2018 as a funding source to fund the municipal portion of the budget for 2018. So it would be going back indirectly to the ratepayers of this community.
Okay. Is there any direction from council on this issue? No? Okay. We'll continue to bring the issue forward then, I guess, at county level. Any other unfinished business? Okay, any new business? Councilor Fryer?
Got a few complaints, and the CAO kind of been directed to speak to Bob Morante from the leather business. Now that the newly erected car wash is up and running, the dryers are pointed basically at his house, and it's become a situation where his standard of living is depreciated quite a bit when he has members over and sitting outside. So,
I don't know if it's bylaw. It's
okay.
A bigger issue. I'll deal with it.
You okay? Look at it. Okay.
Yep. Bring back a report to council.
Okay.
I think he is gonna put a delegation with Paula for our next meeting. So.
Second on the motion. Deputy Mayor, all those in favor? Carried. Any other new business? Councilor Fryer?
Some more new business. There's some businesses that called me and said they see the sweeper go by their business almost daily and almost by watch. And then I get residents out in Point West that are saying, and I took quite a few pictures and I sent them to Antoinette, and I appreciate that. But there's other areas in the town that need to be swept as well, especially our trails. Thomas Road is heavily used. Texas Road right now, there's construction going on at a house, and there's always stuff on that, both sides of the trail again. So if we're trying to maintain these, I think doing the same streets day after day after day, we have to be able to have another means to do other areas. Because when businesses are going, yep, there was a sweeper, and it's 9 o'clock and they do it every day, but they live in Point West and they're going, the gutters are full, and you have a flooding situation. So I guess coming back to council, like, do we need another sweeper? Do we need roots? Or I don't know what the fix is when ratepayers are complaining about, you know, sure, we got a great downtown, looks great, you can almost eat off it, but other areas are being neglected.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I have asked Eric, we do have a schedule, and I have asked Eric to revisit that schedule. In the past, it was thought to focus in the downtown core, obviously because of the tourists, the businesses, and so forth. However, we have had some concerns that that may be a little heavier than it needs to be. So I have asked Eric to take a look at it, and we are revisiting that schedule and hope to improve on it.
Thank you. Do we need direction on that, or?
Well, you want direction to have that come back to council, so at least the public at large, I mean, that would be great.
Yep. Okay, second. Councilor Pouget, all those in favor? Carried. And any other new business? Councilor Pouget?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's been brought to my attention again about the situation on Sandwich Street with the fact, so I had my husband drive me down there to sit and watch, and it's particularly disturbing around the Tim Horton driveways and Crown Ridge driveways. People are pulling out, and they're driving, and especially from, I noticed from Tim Hortons, they're just pulling out, and they're driving on the right-of-way that's actually a bike lane. And there's no indication that we don't have any bikes and stencils or anything on there, but it's just an accident waiting to happen. And I observed at least four times within about a 25-minute period. The other one is on the other side of the road, just by the police station. When somebody's making a left-hand turn, they don't wait. They think that they have a right to go right on that bike lane, and pedestrians are walking there. If there's a big truck in front of them, they can't see around that, and they're just right on that narrow right-of-way. And again, we don't have any stencils. I don't know if we can put stencils on that, but the other part of it is, and this was brought to my attention, and I observe it over and over again when it comes to the stop sign at Lowside Road, and we're trying to make a left-hand turn to come into town. They boot it. As soon as they clear the police station, they're booting it. They're going at least 70 miles per hour. I just wondered, and I know we don't have a traffic committee anymore, but I wondered if we could extend the speed limit until just after Seasons or the Blue Haven is so that they're not racing through that intersection, because then there's a left-hand turn going into Seasons, into the Family Health Teen Center, and they're trying to turn right into the Blue Haven. And these people are just flying down that road. If we don't dare pull out, even if we see them way down the road, because we know they're going to boot it. So those are two issues, and perhaps this isn't the area that I should be addressing it, but it's just been in the last couple of days that it's been brought to my attention again, and I have gone to observe it.
The first issue, I think we need to address the lanes that aren't marked for anything. So are we anywhere on that, or do you need direction from council on that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there was direction at the last council meeting, and we are looking at that. It was initially, when the report came back during the repaving project, that we were not going to be putting bicycle lane markings on that road. However, we have been asked to revisit that. As far as the Tim Hortons side of the road, the problem there is there was never the intention during the project to have those shoulders paved, and so you'd have the delineation of the road and the driveways. However, things changed within the project scope, and we paved that entire shoulder, and so now people are considering that another lane. So we are going to look at that at the same time as the bike lane and see what needs to happen there.
Okay, good. And then the second issue was speed limit, but I think Councilor Levine has that answer.
Well, since council disbanded the traffic committee, we actually, you'll have to do an administrative, because that's a county road. The traffic committee would usually forward a concern to the county and they would come back to us, but now you'll have to deal with some of the administration. I'm not sure who.
Okay.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Of course we can increase enforcement down there, but it is a county road issue, like Councilor Bean had said. What may help to curb it for a little while is we put the speed sign down there. And of course I'll mention it to our traffic officers to take a look at the area. I believe that there is at least a line on the right hand shoulder. So the lines are marked. You cannot drive in that lane. It's an offense. So I hope our new speaker people will pick up on it and they put it out there for us. You cannot drive. It's failing to drive in a marked lane.
Councilor Pluja.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you to our chief. And I thank you for that, chief, and to Antoinette. But would it help you if council gave direction to administration to contact the county to ask if we could have that speed reduced just for that short section? Or would you rather take it upon yourself to do that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Through my experience, I find the best way to get people to slow down is through enforcement. If people do not abide by the current speed limit, I have very little hope that they will abide by a new speed limit. So really the only way to get people to drive is through enforcement and public knowledge, putting it out there and reminding everyone about the speed limit and asking our citizens to cooperate.
Councilor Frey?
Through you to our legal mark. Coming here today, we have a paver, asphalt paver, that's parked on the shared pathway on Texas Road. So what's the liability to the town? Because there are no parking signs up there already on that side. So they just parked it there for the night. So everyone that has to use that has to go around it.
Well, through you, Mayor, I'd have to take a look at the situation, but obviously I'm certain, I'd have to look to see if it's parked illegally or if it has any special dispensation. I'm not quite sure if it's just parked there. Is it parked there every night? Is it someone's paver, or is it part of a construction project that's ongoing?
Regardless if it's a construction ongoing, if I could, Mr. Mayor,
mm-hmm.
It's left there overnight and it's not marked. There's no cones. There's nothing around it. And if somebody ends up hitting that, it's on our roadway, and we have signs that says no parking. So what enforcement
are we able to do? Is Texas Road enforceable on the no parking signs? Has that come back to council to enforce it?
Okay, we can take a look at that, certainly, Texas Road.
Okay, any other new business? Okay, seeing none, is there a report out? There is a report out.
Council met on April 24th for a special in-camera meeting at 4:13 p.m. and at 7:45 p.m. and discussed two items as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A was an education session heard under Section 239.3.1 of the Act. There is nothing further to report on this matter. Item B was Amherstburg Fire Department employment extension heard under Sections 239.2b and D of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on this matter.
Okay, there is no notices of motion. Brings us to 21.1, bylaws. Councilor Melosh?
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Courtney. All those in favor? Carried. That brings us to the in-camera meeting. Councilor Levine?
We'll move council moving into an in-camera meeting directly following the session pursuant to Section 239 as amended for the following reasons. Item A, 239.2C, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board. Item B, performance review. Item 239.2B, personnel matters about identifiable individuals, including municipal board employees. And Section 239.2F, advice of the subject to solicitor client privilege. And item C, investigation results, Section 239.2B, personnel matters about identifiable individual and municipal or local board employees.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Fryer. All those in favor? Carried. We will go in camera.